Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's Word today is our second lesson, Book of Romans, chapter 7, beginning at the 14th verse. And dear brothers and sisters in the faith, Romans chapter 7, verse 14, for we know, in other words, that's the way it is, we know that the law is spiritual. The law. Now, not the law as legislated by the Democrats. Not the law as legislated by the Republicans. Not the law as interpreted by the Supreme Court, rather the law of God, found in His holy word, 613 commandments in the Old Testament and many more in the New Testament. But if you take them all and you boil them down, like maple syrup, they boil down to 10 commandments, which you spoke just a moment ago. And if you take those 10 commandments, they boil down to 2 commandments. Our Lord Jesus talked about them. He said there are 2 commandments, they're like each other. Number one, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. The second commandment is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. For we know that the law is spiritual. Now that does not mean that the law of God, when it is read or studied or meditated upon, that the law of God gives you an elevated state of mind, like a drug high. It does not mean that somehow the law of God puts you in touch with a higher state of being. It does not mean that the law of God is mystical or that it lifts you to a higher plane. The law of God, on the contrary, is extremely down to earth, deals with day-to-day situations. What makes it spiritual is that it comes from the Holy Spirit. It was written by God's Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit speaking the truth of God, what is right before God, and what is of benefit and what is of blessing to the people around you. Second Peter, chapter 1. No prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. God's law, written by the Holy Spirit. That being the case, St. Paul says, verse 16, Romans 7, 16, I agree with the law of God that it's good. And then verse 18, I long to keep the law of God. That longing is present inside my heart. And then verse 22, he says, I delight inwardly in the law of God. And he could have added Psalm 119. He could have said, yes, Lord, the law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of pieces of silver and gold. The man speaks like that because he is a child of God. He was baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. He was given the Holy Spirit, which is the only way that you know the Lord, the only way that you trust the Lord, the only way that you seek the Lord, the only way that you talk differently, that you speak like St. Paul did, where he says, I agree, Lord, with your law. I wish to do your law. I delight in your law, in my inner being. Thus St. Paul spoke, and thus we speak. And what a great place to end, to wrap things up, to say, like today's lesson says, Lord, I agree with your word. Lord, I wish to do your word. Lord, I delight in your word in my inner being. Amen. Amen. What does that mean? Do we just get done early? Amen. What does it mean? You remember your old catechism? Say it. Somebody said it. Yea, yea, it shall be so. And right there is your problem. It shall be so. Really? It really will be so? Because let's be honest, saying it ain't doing it. Agreeing with it is not living it. Delighting in it is not achieving it. Talking the talk is not the same as walking the walk. Very good. And this is where the unbelieving people are very quick to point their finger at us Christian people and say, well, you Christians are just hypocrites. You don't walk the walk. And yet, we have to shake our heads and say, no. We don't walk the walk, but there is something new there. There is something that where we agree with what God says, we wish for what God says, we delight in the law of God. It's not fake, it's not a lie, there's something new that's going on. The problem is that there's something else going on as well. And St. Paul describes it in his own life, which can go for every person, because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. This is what he says. He said, today's lesson, I delight inwardly in the law of God, according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin at work in my members. He says there's another law at work. It's like the law of gravity. There's no exceptions to it. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's no exceptions. It's always there. It's the law of sin. King David wrote about it long years before that. He said, surely I was sinful from what time? From birth. From the time that my mother conceived me. And it plays itself out in your life, in mine. You go back to today's lesson, and what do you read? Romans chapter 7, verse 15. I don't do what I long to do. What I hate is what I do. Verse 18. I can wish it, but I can't do it. Verse 21. I can wish the good, but evil is present there with me all the time. It rests together with me. Verse 23, he says, sin wages war against me. And then verse 24, what's the conclusion of all of that? I am a wretched, miserable man. Who will rescue me? Who will deliver me from this body of death? Now, last Sunday, we heard about our Lord Jesus saying, I have not come to bring peace, but what? Good, you were there. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. And we saw how he talked about families getting divided, where some believe in him, some do not believe in him. There's conflict in families. You go to today's lesson, and what you see is a sword comes into a person's own life. A person themselves becomes divided against themselves. There's two powers at work, and they're contradictory to each other, two contradictory laws. And St. Paul says, it makes me wretched. It makes me miserable. Because he recognizes that the sinful human heart and the holy law of God, they don't mix. They don't blend. You put those two together, and the gears begin to grind, and the engine begins to smoke, and things begin to overheat. They don't fit together with each other. Wretched man that I am. Now again, at this point, those who do not know the Lord, the unbelieving world, have an answer for this. They have a solution for this. And what you will hear is this. If your heart is over here, and the law of God is over here, and they don't mesh, then what do? Get rid of the law of God. Get it out of the picture because it's causing problems for you. It's not letting you be you. It's not letting you be what you are. If something causes problems, you know what to do. Get it out of your life and everything will be fine. Everything will be fine. That sounds good in theory, except for the fact that they already tried that. Adam and Eve tried that. They had the law of God. They had one simple commandment. What was it? Don't what? Don't eat from the tree. One simple commandment. Keep it straightforward and simple. And what happened? The devil said, get rid of the law of God and you'll be fine. You'll be great. We see it in the book of Judges, page after page. We've been studying that in adult Bible class. We see it in the book of Judges. Over and over again, people get rid of the Lord. They show the Lord the door. This is the people of Israel who should have known better, church people. They show the Lord the door. They show his holy law the door, and what happens? Evils come sweeping in. Horrors come sweeping in. Lives get destroyed. Families get destroyed. Sometimes it happens right away, and obviously. At other times, it's just like a bunch of seeds get planted, and they're going to germinate later. Get rid of the law of God. Get rid of God, and everything will be fine. Well, they tried that. So what advantage do we have, or what alternative do we have to that? Well, what you can do is this. You can let the law of God stand. You can let it remain. You can keep it in the hymn book, like we just read a moment ago. And you can do that because you know that it's going to stand anyway on the day of judgment. You're not going to get around it. And you can say, you know what, Lord, the gears are grinding and the engine is overheating and this is something that I do not understand, like St. Paul didn't understand it, but you know what? Let your law speak. Let it speak now to me. Let it shine in every dark corner. And I say that fully recognizing that if the law of God stands, it's going to knock me down. And it's going to knock you down. It's not going to say to you, what a sweet little dear you are. It's not going to say to you that you're a great person. It's not going to award you a certificate. It's not going to say you are a cut above the rest. It will show you the ugliness and the evil within so that nobody can open their mouth and say, I thank you, God, that I'm not like other people. You are like other people, and the only thing like other people you are left with is verse 24 of today's lesson. I'm a miserable, wretched person. Who will rescue me? Who will deliver me from this body of death? And if you get to the point where you're asking that question, then you know you're asking the right question, because at that point, you can confess the right answer. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Today's psalm talked about it. Psalm 145, it says, the Lord is gracious. The Lord is merciful. The Lord is slow to anger. The Lord is abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all. His mercy is over all that he has made. The Lord upholds all who are falling, and he raises up all who are bowed down. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Thanks be to God that the holy life of Jesus and the good life of Jesus counts in place of what you have done and how you have lived. Thanks be to God that the holy and sacrificial death of Jesus has washed clean all that you have done for the day of judgment so that you can stand before Almighty God. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord, who gives you his Holy Spirit, who even now brings about a different heart, different thinking, different ways of speaking, different ways of understanding, different actions, so that a Christian person can be called a new creation. Of course, the good Lord had to bring you to that truth, the truth of Jesus Christ. Before you get there, you can say all manner of things about Jesus. You can say, what a friend we have in Jesus. You can say, Jesus helps me, Jesus guides me, Jesus directs me, Jesus defends me, and they're all true. But sooner or later, you get to the point where you can't make it as far as the Lord is concerned, where you say, what a wretched person I am, and then at that point, you find that you have a Savior. We know the law is spiritual. It's right, it's good, it's true, but I am fleshly, sold under sin, and everything that comes from that comes out of me. And what is it that results from that? What a wretched man I am, a miserable man I am. Who will rescue me? Who will deliver me from the body of this death? And you know the answer. It's always the same one. It's the only one that works. Thanks be to God, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And now we can say, Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.